Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For the same way they persecuted the prophets who are before you." That's hard, isn't it? Tough. So I have two questions to start with this morning, which I would like you to discuss with your neighbor, just very quickly. Jesus is talking about those who believe in him being persecuted. So, two very quick questions. Are Christians persecuted around the world? And are Christians persecuted in this country? Discuss. Quickly. Right, have you done both questions? I said very quickly. So a show of hands, as a vote, as it were. I think the first question may be more easy than the second one. Are Christians persecuted in the world? If you agree with that, if it's a yes, can you put your hand up? Okay, that's probably unanimous. Now then, second question. Are Christians persecuted in this country? If you think they are, can you put your hand up? Okay, that's most of you. Who thinks they're not? Okay. Some people not too sure. Okay. Do you want to tell us why you don't think they are? Just very quickly.
I think in this country, Christians can be discriminated against and kind of receive prejudice, but I don't think they're persecuted.
Okay.
No, I see it as something different.
Okay, interesting. This is what I've been struggling with this week. Are we persecuted? We'll come to that. Thank you. I was doing some reading this week about Christian persecution in this country, and I came across, some of you will love this, some of you will, this man, Michael Gove, who says this. I may never quote Michael Gove ever again. This may be the only time. "The contrast between the Christianity I see our culture belittle nightly and the Christianity I see our country benefit from daily could not be greater." Do we agree with Michael Gove? It's like, oh, I don't know if I want to say I agree with Michael Gove. Okay, interesting. Interesting. This is an imam of a mosque in Oxford. "Christianity is under siege in this country. Britain's national religion has never been so marginalized and derided by the public institutions that should be defending it." Yes? Interesting. This is a writer for the Daily Telegraph. "Once faith has been made to look ridiculous, the attempts of believers to rebut the criticism will be met with deaf ears. And then the line between ridicule and persecution becomes even thinner." Yes? No? Okay, so it's, again, that dichotomy is being made fun of the same as persecution. Interesting. We've come to our last beatitude, and as we've discovered over the last few weeks, what Jesus says is profoundly countercultural. The Sermon on the Mount is about discipleship. It's not about how to get into the kingdom of heaven. Rather, it's about how to act as citizens of his kingdom. This is Jesus' discipleship manifesto about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, how to live in the kingdom of God. And he calls us and his disciples to an unflinching discipleship. Certainly when we get to this beatitude, a discipleship that stands up against the world, that makes a difference. So could you describe your Christian discipleship like that this morning? And that's the challenge that we're called to grapple with. But what we look like in our everyday living, about our discipleship this time, tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. Billy Graham used to call this portion of scripture, the Beatitudes, as beautiful attitudes. Have we got beautiful attitudes that are salt and light in our world? Because these things that we've been learning, the Beatitudes, they go against the grain. They go against the way the world thinks and operates. And certainly that's the truth in this final Beatitude. I read it from a different translation. I'm really loving the Passion Translation at the moment. And it says this: how enriched you are when you bear the wounds of being persecuted for doing what's right. For that's when you experience the realm of heaven's kingdom. How ecstatic you can be when people insult and persecute you and speak all kind of cruel lies about you because of your love for me. So leap for joy. Any leaping for joy happening? I don't know. Since your heavenly reward is great. If you're being rejected the same way the prophets were before you. It's a paradox, this, that we're thinking about today. The dictionary says that a paradox is a seemingly absurd or self-contradictory statement that is or may be true. Religious truths are often expressed in paradox. And that's very much our beatitude before us today. And I think this serves as a test of the others that we've learnt. And I suspect this would have been hard to hear then as it is now. So I'd like to share three paradoxes that Jesus shared in his final paradox, in his final beatitude this morning. That persecution is a given for Christians. That paradoxically, it's also a gift. And that, oddly, Jesus says, persecution brings gladness. All of which sounds crazy. That's the point. So the first one, persecution is a given. The other passage that Mike read to us from later on in Matthew's gospel reminded us that persecution will happen. Jesus was not being Jesus gentle, meek, and mild that day. He said this: you will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged. Lovely. You will be brought before governors when they arrest you. Brother will betray brother to death. You will be hated when you are persecuted. Notice it doesn't say if, it says when. It doesn't say you might have a tough time. Jesus pulls no punches. He says you will be hated when they arrest you. It's not an if, it's a when. And I find that really hard to listen to. And I suspect Jesus's hearers did too. And that continues throughout the New Testament, this idea that you will be persecuted. There was shed loads of references I could have used. If they persecute me, they will also persecute you. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It's a given, Jesus says. It goes hand in hand with saying that you are a Christian, that if you're doing it and saying what the world does not want to hear, that's not going to be popular, says Jesus. Why? He says, because those who are persecuted are persecuted because of righteousness. So I wonder what that looks like in a UK context. What does persecuted because of righteousness look like for us? Because some of us might feel maligned and sidetracked, but is that persecution? Because it's certainly not the same as what's happened in Indonesia this morning. I suspect that nobody will bomb our church building because we're standing for the gospel in West Kirby. We've heard much of those publicized cases of Christians who've been persecuted because they've broken the law, be it their uniform law at work by wearing a cross, or be it discrimination law because they've not allowed same-sex couples stay in their B&B. Is that persecution or is that discrimination? Are they the same thing? Oh, lots of people nodding. I read this week. It just made me laugh in the middle of all these stories of persecution. If you don't use deodorant, don't claim persecution because no one wants to sit next to you at work. Salt and light and sure deodorant is what's needed. Is what we live through as Christians in this country the same as those that live in Indonesia and Eritrea and Egypt, Sudan? It's not the same thing. Some would say it's exactly the same thing. It's just framed by an increasing tide of secular thinking. The Barnabas Fund at the moment is campaigning for a new law to enshrine hard-fought religious freedom in law permanently. If you're interested in that, I have information. I know we've got some information at the back, but I have more information from the Barnabas Fund and Open Doors if you want to know more. Jesus says, we will be persecuted because of Jesus if our discipleship stands in contrast with the world around us. If we speak truth to a world that does not want to hear it, that's unpalatable, Jesus says. So, persecution is a given. Jesus says persecution is a gift. Well, we will be blessed, he says. We get the sense that Jesus is saying that the Almighty God from heaven applauds us when we stand firm and blesses us for that standing firm and resolute. He says it's a gift because of what he'll give us for enduring it. Blessing. I think persecution of Christians in this country, or discrimination, will grow and grow. I don't think this is a Christian country anymore, if it ever was. It will grow as Christianity becomes more abnormal. And I actually think that gives us a missional advantage. Let me say it again. I think that's actually a good thing. Turning the negative round. There are many folk who are on probably the third generation of non-church going, where grandparents no longer went to church. They, parents, no longer go to church. They've not been to church. And so there's the advantage that we've got a whole group of people that don't have the baggage and stereotypes that come with decades of church going. They don't know what they should have forgotten. And when people come to church, they're often surprised. I remember a conversation with somebody who was here for a blessing. I can't remember which baby blessing it was, but she sat in front of the sound desk, and I went to speak to her after the end of the service, and she was literally flabbergasted because church was not as she was expecting it to be. She didn't know what she was expecting it to be, but she wasn't expecting it to be a place that was full of life and vitality, and a place where she clearly had been touched by God. So for many people, we're starting with a blank canvas. And I think that can be a good thing if we have eyes to see it. So maybe that's a gift too. So if we agree that persecution is a given, we may feel it's a bit of a stretch to say it's also a gift. Because nobody wants to be persecuted. But Jesus is saying persecution is a gift that's wrapped in blessing. I think we all know that God is blessing the persecuted church around the world. That in some places, the church underground and behind closed doors is growing exponentially in areas of the world, that God is blessing their loyalty and their faithfulness and their discipleship. He's blessing their righteousness in Christ. So finally, persecution brings gladness. And that's a bit harder to get our heads around. Jesus is not implying that we should be happy about persecution, but we're to leap for joy for what it represents. He's reminding us that every Christian that puts Christ first will face flak somehow, at some time. But that should bring us gladness, because the rewards are worth the risk. That takes faith for the joy set before us. The point is that persecution identifies you with Christ the King and with a long line of kingdom citizens. With the prophets of old, we're told in verse 12, those who stood up against the slipping standards of their own day and spoke the word of God with conviction and clarity. So I'm reminded today to keep on praying for the persecuted church and for ways that we can, as the church in this nation, speak with truth and grace to those in power and to continue to be salt and light, people of grace and of irresistible influence this time tomorrow and the day after. So to recap, if we follow Christ wholeheartedly, if we put into practice the countercultural blessings of the Beatitudes, if we live the way of the kingdom of God, that is not popular. People will oppose us. And it's as simple as that. When we put the gospel first, that calls people to see what their lives look like. If we're invisible as Christians, we get an easier deal. But that's not what God calls us to. The Beatitudes are radically countercultural. I think they teach us a lot. They teach us about how to be a Christian now and to look forward for what is to come. I want to be a person who lives and breathes this, marked out by humility and hunger and thirst for righteousness, by mercy, by purity, and I want to know Jesus wholeheartedly. What about you? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it's written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered a sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this hard word this morning. And we are sorry if we have wanted too easy a discipleship. We're sorry for the words we have not spoken. Would you give us courage to speak the truth in grace and love, to be salt and light, to be distinctive? Would you help us be your disciples who are scattered in this community and be your church, not just gathered here, but gathered in workplaces and homes and in shops and in this community? Would you be with us in what we say, in what we do, and in who we are? Because of Jesus, we pray. Amen.